Hello, gentle podcast listeners. In an earlier episode, we asked the question, what are we arguing about when we argue about mandates? A few things have emerged in the news that are relevant to this question, and they're interesting enough that I thought it would be good to do a brief update on the question of mandates, especially vaccine mandates. Welcome to I Wrote This Podcast, the show in which we noodle our way through timely and interesting issues. I'm your host, Bob Neese. Thanks for joining in. There are a few things that have emerged in the news lately that motivated me to do this update. First, there's a study out of Spain suggesting that the COVID-19 vaccines don't slow transmission of the Omicron variant. Second, there are repeated cases of people who are being turned away from organ transplants because they refuse to get vaccinated. And finally, we have some recent data on how the vaccines affect hospitalizations and death. As we will see, each of these things are relevant to how we think about vaccine mandates, some pulling the argument one way and some the other way. So, let's dive in. If you haven't heard it, or if you want a refresher, you might want to listen to episode number one. That's the one in which we asked, what are we arguing about when we argue about mandates? But anyway, the answer came down to three things. First, we might be arguing about moral philosophy. Specifically, some people think about moral questions in terms of the outcomes each alternative is likely to produce. These are consequentialists. Other people think about the morality of actions being inherent in the actions themselves. These are deontologists. In thinking about vaccine mandates, consequentialists would try to understand whether implementing those mandates produces better outcomes than not implementing them. Some deontologists might argue that mandates are inherently wrong because they impinge on individual freedoms. Other deontologists, however, might argue that mandates are good because they embody a duty that each of us have to take care of others. The second thing we might be arguing about when we argue about vaccine mandates is whether we think it's okay for people to impose risks on other people. In the days of the original version of the virus and up through Delta, it was pretty clear that vaccines slowed the transmission of the virus. That meant that a person's decision to refuse vaccination could be imposing a risk on others. As we will see in a minute or two, the latest news raises some questions about whether that's still the case with the Omicron variant. And the third thing we might be arguing about when we argue about vaccine mandates is whether the government should be involved in preventing people from making bad decisions. If you believe the government should be involved in this sort of thing, you might argue for vaccine mandates. And as we will see, emerging data is still on your side if this is the position you take. So, what is the latest stuff leading to this mandate update? As I just noted, one of the arguments in favor of vaccine mandates is that they reduce the imposition of risk on others. Specifically, people who don't get vaccinated are more likely to transmit the virus to other people. At least, that was the argument. Economists call costs or risks that are imposed on other people negative externalities. One of the ways to deal with negative externalities is to outlaw the behaviors that cause them. It's why, for example, driving while drunk is illegal. That behavior, getting behind a wheel while inebriated, poses too great of a risk on other people. So our society forbids it. Two recent studies raise some uncertainty when it comes to the question of whether COVID-19 vaccines reduce the risk of transmission to other folks in light of the newest subvariant of Omicron. If the vaccines do not reduce the chance of transmission, or don't reduce that chance by much, the negative externality argument for vaccine mandates loses a lot of its punch. The two studies come to differing conclusions on this question. The first study is out of Spain. Among other things, the researchers find that, quote, once infected, index vaccinated cases seem to have the same transmission capacity as non-vaccinated people. If true, this means that getting vaccinated would not reduce the chance that you would subsequently infect someone else with the virus. The second study comes out of Denmark and found precisely the opposite. Those researchers found that, quote, the pattern of increased transmissibility in BA2 households was not observed for fully vaccinated and booster vaccinated primary cases, where the odds ratio of transmission was below 1 for BA2 compared to BA1. This is a little harder to untangle, but basically the researchers are saying that vaccinated folks are less likely to transmit the new Omicron subvariant than they were the original Omicron variant. Why do these studies come to differing conclusions about whether vaccination reduces transmission? It's not clear at all. First, it's important to note that neither of these studies has been peer-reviewed. The Spanish study is based on 622 cases, while the Danish study is much larger, based on over 8,000 cases. Regardless, these studies remind us that as the virus mutates, our assumptions about the effectiveness of vaccines on transmission, which is a key consideration if the argument for mandates centers on preventing negative externalities, may need to change as well. Recent news about the collision between organ transplantation and vaccination decisions highlights another type of negative externality. Over the past few weeks, multiple news stories have reported patients being denied organ transplants because they refused to receive a COVID-19 vaccination. Last fall, a woman in Colorado was denied a kidney transplant because she refused to be vaccinated for the virus. In late January, a Boston man was denied a heart transplant for the same reason, and a North Carolina man was denied a kidney transplant because he too refused to be vaccinated. In a way, these denials are a type of mandate. People who want to receive an organ transplant are being required to get vaccinated. Why are otherwise good candidates for organ transplantation being denied their shot? The answer is that after transplantation, these patients are typically immunosuppressed. This is done in an effort to keep their bodies from rejecting the new organs, which their own bodies view as foreign objects. Because they are immunosuppressed, these patients are at much higher risk of getting infected with the coronavirus. And if they pass away from the virus, the organs they received are no longer available to others in need. This is a different version of the question about negative externalities. Because there is a shortage of organs for transplantation, an organ that is used in one patient means that some other patient will not get a transplant that they also need. In short, assigning an organ to someone who refuses vaccination raises the chance that the organ will be wasted, and that affects others in need of transplantation. The latest news is also telling us more about how well the vaccines are holding up against the most recent variants of the virus. Public health authorities in some countries, states, and regions are now reporting outcomes, including hospitalization and death rates, by vaccination status, and the results remind us just how effective vaccinations are. During the height of the most recent wave of COVID-19 infections in Switzerland, for example, people who were fully vaccinated and boosted were about 50 times less likely to die than were people who weren't vaccinated. In the U.S., the results are even more stark. As of December 4, 2021, the most recent reported at Our World in Data, people who are vaccinated and fully boosted are about 97 times less likely to die from COVID-19. The vaccines also make a big difference in terms of the chances of being hospitalized for COVID-19, especially for older folks. The CDC, for example, reports that for the week ending on December 25th of 2021, the rate of hospitalization for unvaccinated people 65 years of age or older was about 50 times greater than the rate of hospitalization for fully vaccinated and boosted people 65 years of age or older. In short, the vaccines still offer significant protection against the most serious outcomes associated with COVID-19 infection, and that means that people who refuse to get vaccinated are probably not making choices that are in their best interest. So what does this all mean? Remember, when we are arguing about vaccination mandates, we're really probably arguing about one or more of the following three things. First, we might be arguing moral philosophy. In other words, we might be arguing about whether it makes more sense to think about right and wrong in terms of the likely outcomes, or whether it makes more sense to think about right and wrong as being inherent in the choices themselves. On this front, the emerging news probably doesn't change things much. Second, we might be arguing about whether it's okay for people to impose risks on others. Some people support vaccination mandates because they believe that the unvaccinated pose too great a risk of infection on others. If, however, vaccinations don't slow the spread of infection or only do so slightly, this argument loses its punch. The latest news doesn't really help us much here, as the science seems to remain unsettled, at least with the current dominant strain of the virus. That said, cases of patients being denied organ transplants because they refuse to get vaccinated against COVID-19 serve to remind us that we are tied together in ways that go beyond the ability to potentially infect one another. What's made stark in the case of organs for transplant, namely that there is a limited supply, also holds true for treatments, hospital beds, clinical staff, and more. That is, by refusing to get vaccinated, people are, at least statistically speaking, using up healthcare resources of which we don't have an infinite supply. Thus, this part of the news might underscore the argument for mandates as a means to limit how much risk some people can impose on others. Finally, we might be arguing about whether we think the government should be in the business of protecting people from bad choices they might make. If a new variant rendered vaccinations far less effective, this position would be weakened. However, the latest data make it clear that the vaccinations are still wildly effective at preventing hospitalizations and deaths. So, if you're a vaccination mandate supporter because you feel that people should be protected from making poor choices, there's nothing in the latest news that would weaken your position. We'll be right back. Thanks for taking the time to listen. If you enjoyed this episode, please leave a review wherever you get your podcasts. That really helps get the show noticed. Also, be sure to subscribe to I Wrote This Podcast wherever you download your podcasts. If you have a comment or a question about anything you've heard today, or if you have a suggestion for a future topic, please send us a note at I Wrote This Podcast, all one word, at thatradioshow.com. That email address one more time is I Wrote This Podcast, all one word, at thatradioshow.com. Oh, and one more thing, if this podcast sounds a little funny, that's because it's also an experiment. All of the audio for my voice was generated using AI technology. Hopefully the show will sound different and better as the tech improves and as I improve at using it. I'm Bob Neese, hoping you have an amazing day. We'll get together again soon.